This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to another Joy 94.9 podcast.
You're on the Women's Zone here on Joy 94.9, and that was a track from Abby Cardwell's album By Hook or By Crook, and it was called Fool's Paradise, and I have Abby with me in the studio. Good afternoon, Abby.
Hello.
How are you? And you brought your banjo this time around. I'm so excited.
I have, indeed.
Now, you have a story to tell us about the track we just played, Fool's Paradise, when you were at Tamworth. Do you want to tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, well, actually, about a month or maybe a bit longer before Tamworth, leading up to it, Bill Chambers rang me and asked if he could learn Fool's Paradise and Johanna, mm-hmm. and if I would like to get up and sing with his band at Tamworth.
Fantastic. And Bill Chambers, of course, being Casey's father.
Yeah, so I was thrilled. Mm. Very honoured indeed. So, and that was at the pub, that's what it's called, in Tamworth. So it's a bit of an institution. So it was my first Tamworth festival, and that was just the most amazing way to enter.
Tell us about it. I've never been to Tamworth.
Oh, my God. You have to go to just get your head around it and really believe it, because there's so many different facets to it. You've got the street, so on Peel Street, is it Peel Street? It's just absolute utter mayhem. You've got like Uncle Joe and, you know, all these families that well, to put it nicely, think that they can sing and they get up there with their backing tracks, and it's just so amazing. It's like a send-up of Australia, and it just blew my mind. And then in amongst all of that, you've got awesome players, and they're all side by side all the way down the street, drowning each other out, turning up all their little PAs, and I did give it a shot on the street, but it was a little bit soul-destroying, because I kind of found that if you didn't have backing music or a stomp box, you kind of was sort of missed. So I went from doing a few gigs on the street and then playing with Bill Chambers at the pub, and I did a Songwriter in the Round night there at Andrew Claremont's venue, and then this was the big coup. My manager, I've just started with a manager, and he said, oh, there's a bluegrass night at a place called The Trek, you should go along. And I thought, oh yeah, I'll give it a shot. I'm not much of a bluegrass traditional player, but yeah, I'll have a bit of fun. And I went down there with my brother, and we walked in, and The Trek was the entertainment centre, and I'm backstage with Casey Chambers, Gina Jeffries, Becky Cole, like all the who's who, and realised that I was about to play in front of 2,000 people.
Wow.
And it was just amazing. That was the true highlight. So,
yeah. I mean, country music has opened up over the last few years. It's really quite diverse, and there's a lot of really cool country now.
I know, and I suppose to the traditionalists, I'm not country, but I managed to get in the back door because I play banjo.
Has it changed Tamworth though? Because there is this new kind of stream of country, inverted commas, coming through, or is it still?
I think there's always been fringe dwellers. And there's certainly the real straight commercial country that's still there and always will be. But I'd like to think that it is broadening in a bigger way. Maybe that's just the way I'd like to see it. But, you know, there were some good Melbourne bands. Like Graveyard Train went over, and they did really well. So I think next year there'll be even more Melbourne bands that will give it a shot. So
Tamworth is going to become cool. It's going to become this.
I'd like to think so. No, it's fun. It's just you got to take it for what it is and go. There's a cheesy factor, and that can be fun and amusing.
Absolutely. Well, I'm just kind of comparing it, I guess, to the Port Fairy Folk Festival. Now, I've been to a couple there recently. I went to this year's one, and I went to one a few years ago, but I'm imagining that the Port Fairy Folk Festival, when it started, was pretty daggy and pretty kind of just, you know, you're straightforward folk, which is fantastic. I love it.
Yes.
But it's really kind of broadened out, and there's a lot more cooler, hipper kind of folk coming through. And I'm just wondering if we can be doing the same thing with Tamworth. If you like to yourself going along there?
I think
bringing
it could
in
be possible.
The young. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Maybe that's something to work on.
Yeah.
We'll have to get Tamworth on the hip list.
Yeah, we'll have a Melbourne posse. Come on, everyone. Hit me up on MySpace. Tell me if you want to join the posse.
I would love to go. I love country music. I mean, I love all kinds of music, and it's definitely something to get along to, I think.
But this is the more people go, because it is quite expensive, and accommodation's pretty hard, but if you can get it, rally up a troupe or a few bands to pitch in and rent a house. I stayed in a house with, I think there must have been 30 people, just all over the place, and it was like six different bands, and that it was amazing, which made it really affordable. So it's well worth doing.
Now, you've been doing a fair bit of touring.
I have.
On your website, and you say on your website that you love touring. What is it about it that you love, and can you sustain it? Because it must be quite hard work.
It is. It was always a dream and a fear. So, and I'm, I don't know, I'm committed to facing my fears. So I actually had been living in my van because I'd signed a record deal and was moving to America. And it just kept getting drawn out. And this was sort of, last year, going in well into the year. And after I had driven up to Brisbane to park my van to live in America and live the dream, I got an email from them saying that they'd had a financial crash and they were going to terminate the contract and let me go and free up the album. And I was just absolutely devastated. And then I thought, well, maybe this has happened for a reason. So I spent 2 months up at my mum's building my first tour from the ground up, so just getting all the contacts.
Did it all yourself?
All myself. Like, I was on the computer. I never went out. I didn't have one drink or one cigarette in 2 months. I was just glued to that Mac. And I organised a five-week tour. It was about 30 gigs. And when I hit the road, I can't even describe the feeling I had. It was just mind-blowing and so liberating, because I thought just driving from Melbourne to Brisbane was one feat. But actually living on the road, I had my GPS and I had all the tools, and I'd screen printed all my merch. I had everything ready. I left Brisbane with $100 to my name, and I just knew all I had to do was make enough petrol money to get from one gig to the next. So I looked at it like little steps, and I kind of pushed the CD sales and merch a bit and said, oh, you know, I just need to put some petrol in my van. So that tour was a success. I came back with some money in my pocket, and then I got back to my mum's in Brisbane and went, right, well, I better start booking the next one. I was totally hooked.
Yeah.
Just loved it.
So you said that there was a lot of fear at the beginning. What were your fears? What did you anticipate?
I think at first you sort of go, oh, my God, the amount of work that's involved in organising a tour, I couldn't possibly do that. And it's just terrifying.
So it's the more the logistics of organising it.
How can I do that? How can I pull it off? But you always go, oh, but I won't have enough money and I'll be on my own. And you know, it's just crazy. I did learn very quickly that I can't... I mean, I was everything. So the manager, tour manager, publicist, the driver, and I booked everything quite close together. And I realised, like, after about 4 or 5 days of 4 hours sleep... Because you rock up to your gig, you've got to set it all up, sound check, set the merch up, and you don't ever really finish, because you finish the gig and then you've got to talk to everyone and sell all your CDs, then liaise the money with the publican, then pack up, and then you've got to go, and everyone's like, have a drink. So you've got to work out, can I drink? Well, of course, I can sleep in the van out the back, that's fine. But then you've got to drive to the next town, do all the radio interviews and do the gig. And I remember rocking up to ABC in Canberra, and I was drinking all these cans of V just to stay awake, and I was just running on nervous energy. And I was looking at my banjo live on air, and it was almost like out of body experience. I was like, oh my God, I might have had about 10 hours sleep over the last 4 or 5 days, and I don't think I can play. And I was just hearing these fumbling notes come out. I was like, wow, I think next tour I need more time.
But, you know, as you say, conquering your fears, I mean, that's the way to do it, isn't it? And I mean,
yeah.
I'm glad to hear you've got a manager now, because you can share some of that load. But I imagine that you will still keep a lot of responsibility now, having done that. And it's probably been a really great experience for you to maintain as much control as you need to.
Yeah. And it was funny because I met him at a music conference, and he was like, oh, you've got lots of gigs coming up. Who does that? And I went, I do. And who does your publicity? And I'm like, I do. Who does your graphics? I go, well, I do. And so then he was like, I want to manage you. So that, it was awesome. And we communicate regularly on Skype. We have video chats. And it's just great having someone else there as well helping me.
But good on you for doing that, because I guess that's the thing that takes, I mean, you're someone with a lot of talent. You obviously, you need to be talented at what you do. You need to be good at what you do. But then to get to that next stage, you know, you do need to treat it like a business. And a manager is not going to come along just out of thin air.
No.
So you've actually gone out, you've shown how good you are. You've shown that you can get a crowd. You know, you can sell CDs.
Yeah.
And so that's really a remarkable feat.
It is a kind of sacrifice, because I do things in blocks. Like when I'm in business mode, I just can't write.
Mm.
So the writing was just totally forgotten about. So now the beauty of having Chris as my manager is that I'm writing again.
Fantastic.
Because
you can forget. I mean, you know, whatever you do, even if it's a day job completely different from music, it's the same thing. You know, you go home, you're tired, you just want to put your feet up. It's very hard to be creative when you're tired, or your head's busy. It's the creative moment comes when you've got a quiet time and you.
Yeah, you know. And I need to spend a few days before I get back in the groove again of writing, and then it all starts coming through again. It's different for everyone, but that's just how I am.
Mm. Well, look, I think it's time that we had a live song. What are you going to play for us, Abby?
Well, I thought I'd treat everyone to some new stuff.
Excellent. I was hoping you were going to say that.
Yeah. So, and I've been writing more on the banjo just because I love it.
Mm-hmm.
So this song is called 52 Pickup.
Excellent. You're on the Women's Zone. This is Abby Cardwell.
My glass is half full. Yours is half empty. Cry me a river, boy. And I swim it like a fish. Fifty-two. to pick up with me.
Wonderful. Abby Cardwell here on the Women's Zone on Joy 94.9. And that was her playing live with her banjo.
Yeah.
I think the last time you were here, you'd literally just discovered the banjo practically.
Yes.
You haven't been playing it that
right.
long.
Yeah.
Are you finding that that is the instrument of your choice now? Do you put
Definitely.
Yeah.
And this is a tenor banjo. And I'm actually dead set on getting a five string now and mastering some cool roles. So I'll be looking for a banjo teacher very soon.
Fantastic.
If you're out there, please MySpace me.
Now tell us about Lady Luck.
Oh, Lady Luck. My wonderful Van.
Mm.
Oh, she's wonderful. She's been really, really, really good. And whenever anything's gone wrong, which is very rare, it's only a couple of times, she's really picked the right place. One time she blew a tire in, it was like no man's land between Texas and the Queensland border, I think it was. It was awesome because it was sort of like the day before I was going up a really, really steep, narrow descent. No, up descent. That doesn't make sense. Up a hill. So I was just like, you know, very blessed that she blew a tire the day before that. And no, she's good.
Yeah. And how long were you living in the van for?
Well... on and off for a couple of years, most of last year, and I'm just so used to it. And it's she's really, really decked out inside. Like there's this really nice double bed, and all the inside's white, and I covered the ceilings are white with this fabric and little shelves inside. And when people sort of go, oh, you poor thing, you little urchin, you live in a van, and then they see it and they go, wow. So no, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it must
very
have had its downsides too.
Oh, definitely. I mean, there were times when it was really hard as well, because you just ache to be able to plug my computer in somewhere and just chill out. I mean, I occasionally would hire a cabin, and I did that after Tamworth. I went to Port Macquarie and booked a cabin, and I was like, wow, I've got my own space. And I can put stuff around, and I recorded actually these songs that I'm playing, I recorded them in the cabin. And yeah, I suppose sometimes you feel like a bit of a drag sort of going, hey, I'm coming into town, can I park my van out the front?
Reading your diary or your online diary, I mean, you obviously have met a lot of people on your travels, and they've been really kind, welcomed you into their home, and
that's
an amazing thing, isn't it?
Like on the first tour, I booked a caravan park for one night, and the cabin was just so I could have my own space. But I've never needed to book accommodation, and I mean, I've got friends all over Australia now, and when I do a gig, there's always someone. There's usually a few offers. Oh, come over. Mm. Yeah. Like, so it's really nice, and people are so hospitable. And I'm really aware of not overstepping the mark. Oh, yeah, I'll hang around for a few weeks. Like,
yeah.
So, you know. And my mum's in Brisbane too, so she always loves it when I'm up there.
Now, you're still playing with your brother?
Yes.
Yeah.
Definitely.
The rest of the family, are they all musical?
Well, really, my father was into music. He was inducted into the Country Hall of Fame because in the 60s he had a television show called The Country and Western Hour, which Reg Lindsay took over about 2.5 years after my dad did it, Roger Cardwell. And he brought out a couple of records in the 60s or late 60s, I think. But when I was born, he'd stopped doing music, and he was a newsreader on television in Adelaide.
Yeah.
So
what made him stop music?
It's a good question. He actually regrets it now. I dare say it might have been the money.
Could be.
I think newsreading might pay a bit more than the money, than the music, yeah.
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 Yeah. But it's obviously not stopped you and your brother.
Like when we started doing it, you know, Dad was like, and I was into acting before that, and he goes, well, there's no money in it, you know. And then after years of our parents worrying themselves about, well, you've got to get a real job and you've got to save up and you'll be 40 before you know it and all that stuff. And in the end, they just gave up and they were like, well, look, they're doing what they love and they have a passion and they're happy. So
what would you do if you didn't have music? What?
I hate to think. I don't know. If I didn't have music, what would I do? It would be something creative. Oh, God, yeah. It would have to be.
Well, thankfully, you don't have to think about that because, you know, you're making a track for yourself.
Can I just say, when I was in Bali, right, I was so excited. I was on this bus. This was in January. I went over for 6 days. And I put my hand out the bus window with my camera to take a photo. And I was this oncoming bus. All these men were screaming at me, going, ah! And it just missed my hand. And I thought, and oh my God, if I'd lost my hand, what would I do? Mm. That really got me thinking.
Yes, be a little bit more careful with your hands, Abby. We don't want you losing your hands. Although I'm sure you would find some instrument you could play one-handed. That's what I'm guessing.
Yeah.
I'm guessing it probably wouldn't stop you. Well, at the very least, you could still sing.
Left-handed something. Maybe I'd just tap the banjo with my left hand.
Actually, I have to tell you a story. We went to see Human League last night.
Yeah.
Partly because I'm very nostalgic for that kind of music, you know, like a great records they made, but they're terrible live.
Oh.
And most of the music is one-fingered.
Oh, wow.
You know, on the keyboards. You know, it's certainly... And the night before, I'd been to see Lucinda Williams and her band were just awesome. These fantastic guitar solos. And then going to see the Human League with this one-fingered kind of keyboard thing.
Wow.
It was very embarrassing. I'm sure they didn't look embarrassed, but... So there you go. You could do some Human League covers if you had lost your hand.
Well, I could always co-write. Still write songs.
Yeah,
maybe.
But that's too morbid to think about losing your hand. Well,
brings us back to being grateful for what we have in our hands.
It is indeed. We'll just come back in a second.
Yeah.
You're on the Women's Zone on Joy 94.9.
This is a podcast from Joy 94.9, a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station. For more content, please go to our website at joy.org.au, or if you're in Melbourne, tune in to Joy 94.9.
Okay, here we are with Abby Cardwell here in the studio at Joy, and Abby's just tuning up so we can have another tune. Is it another new one you're going to play for us?
Yes. This one is actually all about... being on the road, like after the first tour, I just couldn't wait to get back on the road. And I had been shown a new tuning by Josh from Graveyard Train, so opening me up musically because I'd just been sticking to the same one tuning. So I got back to Brisbane and just started writing about how much I loved being on the road. So this is it. It's called Open Road.
Okay, let's hear it.
Been on the road for 5 weeks, 5 states, 20 gigs. I didn't know I was gonna go fall in love with the open road. Oh Lord, I did not know I would. strangers for me to meet. Just take me back to those white lines, all the places I left behind. I sing my heart out, play banjo, from dusk to dawn, wherever I go. Oh Lord, I did not know I would fall in love. Got me far, sitting, picking, playing every bar, from state to state in every town, till I sung to every soul around. Oh Lord, I did not know I would fall in love with the open road. Oh Lord, I did not know I would fall in love.
Abby, America, does that still beckon? Is that still on the cards?
Oh, I would love to go. Anyone want to fly me over?
Because I know you've been before and really loved it.
Oh, I'd love to, yes. Yes, it's on the cards. Mm. On the cards. But By Hook or By Crook came out about 4 weeks ago in Japan on P-Vine Records. So it was licensed to that label for a few years, so hopefully I'll be going there.
That'd be nice.
Yeah,
that's so great, being a musician sometimes, isn't it, when you get these kind of things.
Oh, I love it.
Excellent. And a new album in the making.
Yes, that's why I'm hanging around Melbourne for a little while. I've written most of it, but continually, you know, writing more. It never stops. It's always like, but what if I write something better next? So
that's a dangerous path.
I know. So I'm sort of aiming towards late this year to bring out the next one.
Terrific.
Yeah.
Well, all the best, Abby. Thanks very much for coming in. I'm going to play another track from Hook or By Crook, and this one's called Broken. Do you want to tell us a little bit about it before you go?
Oh, this is a great story. Okay, I had a housemate's friend, so I didn't really know this person well, and he was heartbroken over an ex that I think must have left him a year or two before, but he was still very much in the victim mode, and was sitting at our kitchen table doing lots of lines of speed, I think it was, and telling us all how he was going to get his life together. And I found this quite amusing because, well, he was, I think he'd just been sacked and he was trying to get more work, and he was just continually beating himself up. And I could see it clear as day from where I stood. So I went up to my room and I wrote this song, and I thank him. I ended up telling him, actually. So he's happy now and in love and clean.
And did he like the song?
Well, I'm not sure. I'm not sure how he took it. But it was inspiring. Yeah.
Okay. Look, thanks very much, Abby.
Yeah.
Lovely to talk to you again.
Thank you.
We'll have you in the studio when the new album's out, I'm sure.
Thanks.
Thank you.
This has been another Joy 94.9 podcast. Joy 94.9 is a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station committed to providing a voice for the diverse GLBTI communities. You can support our work by becoming a member or making a donation. For details, go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.